Number seven is a somewhat related topic. It's the power of now. The simple reality is that we all live in a very, very infinitesimally small slice of time called the now. It's kind of like Occam's razor, where you keep chopping something in half, you chop it again in half, you chop it again in half, you chop it again in half. You can literally do that infinitely. That's what time is like. If you start taking hours down to minutes, down to seconds, down to picoseconds, down to femtoseconds or whatever, there's always a smaller unit. It just never stops. Theoretically, there's like a quantum of time. There's like a, you know, the ultimately small unit. And if there is, then that we'll call the now. Every period of time before that, we call the past. But since that time, we're no longer living in that unit of time. We're living in a future unit of time. That past now becomes an artificial construct that only exists in our mind, that no longer exists in the four dimensions of space-time. So on a physical level, on a physical reality of the universe level, the past no longer exists, per se. Not in the four dimensions. It only exists actually in the five dimensions. It's another dimension beyond. And in that dimension, everybody is timeless, and you can see the future and the past, just like you can see, you know, north and south. You can look one way and see the future, and you can look the other way and see the past. But in this four-dimensional time-space continuum type thing, at that time doesn't exist anymore, and yet that's where you're living. So the past literally doesn't exist. It doesn't matter anymore. And the future never even happened yet. Even has a more ephemeral existence. It only exists as a theoretical construct on the way you view time, that there's something called the future. It certainly doesn't exist right now. If anything's going to happen in your life, it has to happen now, because it's the only thing that's real. So, applied to sales, which is cool about sales, is that you can take the most advanced concepts. And this is like a little sandbox where you get to play around them. Like I always tell people, hey, it's all easy to be some holy guru living in a cave somewhere, you know. Let them try to be a commission-only salesman in a big, busy city sometime with a family. We'll try that one. Let's try to see how holy and, you know, how cosmic you are now. This is a little bit more difficult. You have to play this in the real world. So in sales, if you're going to make a sale, it has to be exactly now. Can we deliver this on Tuesday? If they say yes, you got to sell. If they say, well, I want to think about it, or let's call back next week, then that's never. That time doesn't exist. You have to imagine that there's no tomorrow, but you have to do the deal right now. And in most situations in sales, the most common stall is talk to me later, talk to me later. People don't want to decide anything. They're taking the easy way out. They just don't want to commit. They don't want to make decisions because it's risky and painful. They have to make changes, even though it's good for them. So like saying, you got to quit smoking, stop eating crap, exercise, go on a diet, or you're going to die of a heart attack. Those are difficult things to do. I have to change a lot of behaviors. Yes, I know it's a good thing, but people will say, well, I'll quit smoking tomorrow. What does I will quit smoking tomorrow mean? Yeah, I'm going to go on a diet tomorrow. What does that mean? It means that you're never going to quit smoking. That's what it means. And in sales, it means you're not going to buy anything. The vast majority will not buy. I actually, when I was doing my previous sales positions, I actually monitored 80% of my deals either came on the spot within a day or two, and only 20% came from chasing people around. So I looked at how much time I had and how big my territory was, and I said, I can't cover this area as it is. And yet I'm spending all this time, I'm spending half my time chasing 20% of the deals. So I said, I'm simply not going to come back. I told everybody, I said, look, I'm going to come out and I'm going to show you this system. Here's everything about it. Here's what it costs. And if this works, the only thing I want from you is a yes or no. I don't mind coming there, but I need a yes or no. And I basically got them to agree to that. And so when I was done, I said, okay, as I mentioned, does this look like it's a good investment for your business, yes or no? Do you want this? Do you want to do it? And I don't know. I want to think about it. And you can't think about it. You told me you were going to give me a decision, so that's what I want. I came here, didn't I? On time, yes. Did I set up the equipment? Yes. Did I show it to you in a competent manner? You did a great job. I've been here for 2.5 hours, showed you everything about it, right? Don't you think I deserve an answer? You have cars in here you guys fixed. Would you want to work on a car for 2.5 hours and have the customer say, maybe I'll pay you? Now, that got their attention. So what happens is that out of 5 people, one would get pissed off, 2 would tell me no, and 2 would tell me yes. Do you know what a 40% close ratio means in capital equipment? About the same as it means in baseball as a 40% hit ratio. Make sure it's all-star. That's what it makes. Actually, mine was 48%. It's a little better than that. So the magic here, if you want to break a slump, is that you're probably, you know, talking to people all day long. And, well, let's talk about this. Well, call me next week. I have no time to call you next week. I have to talk to you today. You have to have a reason why they need to do it right now. You have to reason why they have to sell right now. You need that sense of urgency, so you better be there somewhere for you to pull out. And then it's just a matter of you're sticking to it. You're going to have to decide that you're not taking the future. It's either now or forget it. And, of course, most people will never do that. And, of course, that's why 80% aren't in the top 20% and 99% aren't in the top 1% because they won't do this. Well, here's an interesting one. You're going to like this. You have literally got to walk out, look up to the sky, and tell the universe what to do. How's that for chutzpah? How's that for attitude? Can you stare at the sky and demand that the universe do what you do? Just tell exactly what you want, exactly when you want it, how you want it, and why you want it, and you expect it to happen. Just like you were king of all creation, and you're always used to being commanding your people to do what you want them to do, and they do it. You take one of your servants, you tell him what to do, he runs to do it. The king doesn't even have to look back. He knows it's being done because, you know, that person knows the consequences of disobeying the king. So your other little game to play is I want you to pretend you're king of the universe and you're actually going to tell the universe what to do. Now I want to open this up for comments. Why would I want to do that? Isn't that, by definition, megalomania? Isn't that a pretty good case for insanity? Anybody want to comment on that?
This is Steve.
Okay.
That's taking conscious control of your creation, because everything you've got right now, you've done that most likely unconsciously. And so if you go out and, like you said, you know, you're very dramatic about it, you know, tell the universe exactly how you want it, what color, what day, you know, what size, whatever, that's taking conscious control, and you'll get that.
Okay, thank you. So here, check this out. The modern new science knows many, many people on the frontiers of the next generation of science now understands that the mind is not contained within your skull, that the mind is literally contained throughout the universe like a hologram, that everybody's brain literally is holographic. In other words, like a hologram, any one piece of the picture has the whole image, yet with lesser resolution. And everybody's brain literally has everything in the universe is all contained within your brain. It's like directly connected to it. And your subconscious mind, not your your conscious mind deals with so-called reality. That's where your ego's at. Your subconscious mind, it works the emotions and imagery and has all your intuition. It's directly connected to that. So when you tell the universe like that, when you dramatically do that, when you infuse it with emotion and insist that it happen, your subconscious mind literally connects and puts that message out into the universe and causes that to happen. It's literally the way things are wired together, just like you can take apart a computer and you can, you know, trace every circuit. Okay? Now, whether or not you want to believe this is real or not, it's the same thing. For millions and millions of years, our ancestors looked up and saw lightning and had no idea what it was, angered gods or whatever. And they had no concept of electricity and electron flow and charge built up, you know, static charge and separation of charges and breaking down insulation resistance and having current cold flow through it and and voltage. They don't understand those concepts. They looked at the sun. It's been there for billions of years, and it's a big, you know, large-scale thermonuclear fusion device fusing hydrogen and helium. They had no concept of nuclear energy, and yet there it is. So these realities are there. Science just hasn't caught up with them yet, and eventually they will. A lot of people are working on this now. That's what I was studying, a lot of these topics. Anyway, it works. What it will literally do is that it's the opposite of being in a fearful, cowering state like a little rat in a hole that you feel like when you're a loser, quote-unquote, when you're down and out and you can't handle, you know, it's not going your way and you feel rejected, okay, and inferior and all those other thoughts. The polar opposite, remember what I did when I said nothing was going on, so I pretended I was so busy I could barely get to all my appointments? And then the guy bought, right? By the way, it's the same thing as if you can't get a date. But as soon as you get a date, all the girls come around. They all want to date you. Why is that? But when you're desperate for a date, you can't get a date. So you know how you fix that? You pretend you don't need a date. And all of a sudden, the girls will come around anyway. They just don't realize there is nothing there. It's the same concept. So here, what you're doing here is you're creating a new reality by insisting that the universe gets that. You're putting messages out there. You're actually tapping into a lot of power that is yours to use. Okay? Practice that one. And think about this one. What have you got to lose? Number 9 is the whole concept of, instead of being self-centered and greedy and trying to, you know, go get what you want, help other people. It's called service. Focus on your prospect. Focus on helping other people. Focus on your mission, not on your co-mission. Your mission being to look, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find companies that I can help with our product and service. And I'm going to ask questions. I'm just going to focus on helping them. And then if they buy, of course, I will benefit as well. Zig Ziglar, I think, also had a saying, if you help enough other people get what they want, you'll get what you want. Same thing. I like that. He's got a lot of cool euphemisms. But the focus of service, though, sounds easy on the surface, but, you know, look at Gandhi. I mean, there's a lot more to this. There's an immense depth here. And it's hard to do that when you're feeling down and desperate and you need money. The last thing you're concerned about is other people. As a matter of fact, Maslow's hierarchy of needs presupposes that if your lower needs aren't met, your higher needs don't matter anymore. So if your bare physical survival is being jeopardized, the last thing you feel like is altruistic. You know, screw other people. I'm hungry. I got to look after me right now. That's the exact wrong thing to do. This is counterintuitive. I remember once in my 20s, I was at going to take some classes up at Portland, and I took a phys ed class skiing in Mount Hood. I never skied before. I was from Detroit. There is no, you know, it's flat there. So I never really been on mountains before. It's the first time I moved there when I left Detroit. And I'm on Mount Hood, and that's a, you know, pretty steep mountain. And I took a skiing lessons, of course. You know, so I'm traversing around a slope, pretty steep slope. And every instinct in my body was to hug the mountain because I don't want to fall down the mountain. So I'm not going to, you know, he said, no, you got to lean away, lean away. I go, what are you, nuts? I mean, I was scared to start with, right? So I stopped thinking, I leaned away, and all of a sudden, boom, I just started moving beautifully, traversed away. I had my center of gravity all wrong when I was leaning in like that. It was totally counterintuitive. The point I'm making is that I would have bet you money that's not the way you do it, and yet it's totally counterintuitive. And this is counterintuitive that when you're in need, you should focus on yourself, but I'm saying you should literally focus on the customer first because then directly they'll benefit you even more. And it's not so much that you're holier than thou or all good. You can look at it this way, even if you don't wrap it in moralistic terms. People know when you're trying to hustle, and they're not stupid. They have a finely honed instinct after over millions of years, especially CEOs or other astute business people who deal with people all the time. If you're a self-serving charlatan, huckster, con artist, glad-handing telemarketer, they're going to know it. You're going to be so obvious. It's like the little kid, and they go, I love that. Illy, do you take the cookies? No, I didn't have any cookies, and there's cookie crumbs all over her mouth. And it's cute when they're 3 years old. But you're not cute. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you have the cookie crumbs all over your face, you're not cute, you're a clown. And they're not going to do business with you because they just don't like people who are that, if they have to deal well, but they don't want to because it's just too self-serving. They don't feel that you're trustworthy. But if you're overtly and professionally and purposely trying to just be a professional and do your job and help them, they will buy from you. And when they, by the way, they're going to notice this on your voicemails, during your presentation, during the close, and afterwards when it comes time to get referrals. Everything you do now will qualitatively change. If you're not performing, if you're not selling anything, it's probably because you're trying to sell. Almost everything I'm talking about here is non-intuitive. Number 10 is you need to make a decision and you need to commit, especially when you're in a slump. You have to decide right now. You cannot hedge and have one foot out the door. You're either here or you're not there. You're either going to do this job 100% or you should definitely quit. Because if you hang around, you're just going to do it half-ass. You'll do nothing right. Most people don't multitask well. You just think you do. You're better off just doing one thing right at a time. Now, I did an hour and a half talk again on commitment, so I'll refer you to that. But I'm just saying appropriate to this topic of how to get out of a slump, the magic of a decision and 100% commitment by itself will typically blow the doors off any slump. Combined with any of these other techniques, which will give you a focus other than your own, you know, apathy and defeatism and whatnot, depression, will definitely pull you out of that slump. Now, that was 1 through 10. Of course, that's it. You always have to have 10 things, right? Bullshit. I have 11. It's a bonus one. It's like that... movie I'm thinking of? That movie of the rock band. It was like a fake rock band. They had the amp. He says, my amp goes to 11. See, it's louder than other people's amps because the knobs goes to 11. He had 11 put on there.
Spinal Tap?
Yeah, Spinal. This is Spinal Tap. That was one of the funniest things I ever saw. He goes, my amp's so loud. Hey, look, it goes to 11 instead of 10. So this talk goes to 11 instead of 10. That's how good this talk is. The last one is called action. And here's the best form of action. I highly recommend that you sell something. The best way to break your slump is to make a sale. And then, all of a sudden, all of these problems you thought you had magically disappear. So in other words, if one person just, you run across an easy deal, one person says, oh, that sounds good, let's do it. Now I'm all happy now, positive attitude, I'm not looking for work anymore, I love this job, everything's great, right? Everything's wonderful, what slump, I got a deal, now you're going to your next deal, next prospect, right? Oh, and you're so upbeat and dynamic that they buy too. Next thing you know, you're 2-3, then I'll call you, of course you're running into another slump. It's almost like the weather. You never thought the rain went out 5 days, 6 days straight, and all of a sudden, boom, there's the sun. And you're all depressed, it's raining, and oh my God, it's sunny out, you're all happy, right? And then it starts raining again, now you're sad again. Some people, every time it rains, they get sad. They get all, oh, rain, rain. Why? I love rain. What's wrong with rain? Go live in the desert. In other words, they're externally directed. Their external reality is controlling them like a puppet on a string. Okay? So what happens? They'll get a temporary reprieve from their sentence, from solitary confinement that they put themselves into because they got a sale. Okay? They got themselves a deal. But it's a false front. They're not really in control of their reality here, and that their slump has only been broken temporarily. Okay? It's like having a broken arm. So instead of fixing your broken arm, I shoot you up with morphine. It feels good. Oh, what broken arm? I'm doing great. And then, 8 hours later, you come down there, your arm is, gangrene. They're going to have to chop it off. I hate when that happens. What you need to do is channel your dedication, your belief and desire to service. And then it's all about sales is a transfer of enthusiasm. You have to transfer enthusiasm by focusing on the emotional and not the rational. You cannot talk rationally in sales because all buying decisions ultimately are emotional. And the reason I could say that is that human beings are emotional. A lot of people try to hide that fact, especially when they're on a job. They pretend emotions don't exist because you can't be mad or sad or overly, you know, enthusiastic on a job because everybody looks at you. Women, of course, are given better license to express their emotions than men. Even once in a while, they can cry and get away with it, but a man would be like, you know, pilloried. Oh, my God, did you see John cried? Wow. Well, he's not much of a man, you know. So, it's a transfer of enthusiasm, and when you're enthusiastic, it's like you're passionate about your mission. You're passionate about what you could do for this company and how you can help them. You want to make your passion and enthusiasm about them, not about you. You sound a false and self-serving when you're enthusiastic about yourself, your company, and your product. What I want to do is say, boy, this is going to be so great. I mean, I know you've really wanted to, you know, have something in here that would, you know, get your production efficiency up to the point where you can compete with the overseas companies. And this new breakthrough with the software, and it's going to get you that next 15% you guys needed to stay. I'm just really, really happy for your company now. You know, companies that aren't going to make this investment are going to be out of business. They're going to be pushed under. It's just, you know, you cannot afford to fall behind technologically nowadays. It's the world market. It's unforgiving. It will not let you do that. So I'm really, really happy for you guys. I know you were, you know, afraid that you might have to start layoffs, and this is great. So, I mean, that's enthusiasm in their terms. And in closing, closers are simply people who make sales happen. Ultimately, if you're waiting for sales to happen, I hope you're at Walmart's ready to ring up the next customer in line because that's the only place that works. Everywhere else in sales, you have to go out and find ways to make things happen. The fish aren't going to jump in your net every time. You're going to have to go out there and find yourself a fish if you are a fisherman, okay? Everybody's got the same issue. The difference between a closer and a poser is a closer will simply own that reality, will own up to it, and we'll figure out a way to make it happen. There's always a way to make the sales happen. There's thousands and thousands, almost infinite number of excuses. You need to stop waiting and think about right now. What can I do to make a sale happen right now? Forget all of the thoughts. Displace them from your head, which you'll know how to do once you start meditating. And just focus with a laser like that. You're 100% committed. You've made your decision. You know what you're doing. You're trying to serve, and it's going to happen today because today is as good as any other day. So there's, well, I'll get a sale this week. There is no this week. There's right now. Your next call is your sale. Well, I'll sell a couple. I'll get one this month. What, that means nothing. That's a poser talking. Your next demo is your sale, and you're going to arrange the demo right now. You're going to get on the phone and set up a demo. That's it. And with that, I close this. I'd like to open this up for comments.
This is Jim. I appreciate you going through this, Paul, because none of us are immune to these slumps, and they're going to happen. I'd really like to get a transcript of this call to go back through these 11 items that you outlined. Because this is as valuable a tool in our quiver as any sales good refined, well refined sales presentation is going to be.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim. And number one, I have it all in writing, the outline. I'm going to pop it onto the website in my ebook, and the audio is recorded. I'll have it edited and up by tomorrow.
You know, sometimes these slumps are just emotional things, biological or biochemical sort of things that are going to happen, and it just seems a shame to sacrifice a promising career and all the income that's waiting for us if we can't simply find those and develop those techniques to get us through it, to wait it out, and to survive that so we'll then be prepared to move on rather than going, you know, and copping out and getting that Walmart job.
Excellent. You know, I'm going to add something to that because that's a good, you know, a good thought there. You know, simply, what's plan B? Plan B is I want it to be easy, but it's not easy. So that needs to be reframed in the fact as an adult understands that there is no easy, that in life you're going to have to work one way or the other, so you have to, like, own up to that. So there is no plan B. In most circumstances, plan B is I see people job hopping from job to job to job, and they're simply, you know, they are what they are, and they're not standing up to their reality, so they're trying to escape it and look for something easy. And if that's your habit, then that's a failure mode, and that's one of the, I'll be discussing that. I think that's in a second, you know, failure mode talk that I'll be having next week. But I appreciate your comment. Anybody else like to make a comment?
Yeah, Paul, this is Steve again. I think one thing that just really rings or resonates with all 11 of your points here is, you know, the key thing, I think, is just taking responsibility, personal responsibility. You know, you started out with number one, with changing your reality. And I think it's really kind of taking a look in the mirror and realizing that, you know, if you're in a slump or you don't like where you're at, you got yourself. You created that reality there. You know, you might have done it totally unconsciously, which is probably about 99% of the time. But, you know, it's taking the responsibility to move forward and consciously recreate your reality. And I think that's key.
Right. I appreciate that. And that is, you know, an underlying theme would be, it's almost like a postulate or an assumption at this point that, you know, you're going to have to take reality. And as another point, there is, you know, there is the fact that you could just be miscast. Okay? And that the fact is maybe you should quit. There is always that. I'm assuming, of course, that you're in a slump, not in the wrong job. That you had success, now you're in a slump. You know, you were a ball player, you were doing really great, then you went into a slump. So I didn't bring that up. Yeah, and some people get burned out at jobs, so I guess there's that. But that's another issue as well. This is just a slump is a kind of, like I said, a slump is a kind of a thing that one sale momentarily can break. Oh, everything's great now, I got a deal. Oh, it's okay now. I was going to go out and jump off a bridge, but I got a deal, so I'm cool. And then, again, it gets repeated because you have no actual, you know, cure for the situation long term. It's just a temporary, like I said, it's morphine for the broken arm. These are more permanent restructurings that you withstand any slump, anytime. Okay, anybody else like to make a comment?
I'd like to make a comment. This is Juwan, Paul. This reminds me of, for years, I've had something that's actually on my desk, and it says, if you want to change your space, change your head. And it's always been there good for me, because whenever you need it, you can look at it, and it really is creating your own reality. This talk has been excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that comment. That's a good one. So, anybody else have something? Carpe diem. I think that's a seafood dish at a Vietnamese restaurant. Has a chili sauce. Is that how that works? Take carp, and then diem, I think, means chili. Is that how that works, Steve?
Cooking 101, something like that, yeah.
Okay. All right, anybody else want to make a comment? Add something to discussion? Did I miss anything that you would add in there?
I think there's a lot of good one-liners out there among the various motivational speakers, materials, and tapes, and so on, but one that I like is, if you want to change your life, you need to change your mind. And each one of the topics I think you talked about, you could almost do an hour on each one of those, but thanks for the recap.
Okay, cool. All right, well, on that note, I appreciate your attendance and participation, and we'll close it here. Thank you.